Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, 8:10 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me now by phone, I hope, is Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. This is the part I've been dreading. Sheriff, are you there?
Hey, I am. I'm done with the ticket writing for the morning, hopefully.
Outstanding. Yeah, when I called you just a couple of minutes ago, you told me that you were out on the road on patrol in the middle of writing somebody a ticket, right?
Yeah, he passed me doing 110 and a 70, so I felt he needed some attention.
Okay. How'd he take it?
As well as can be expected.
Yeah.
Nobody likes getting caught, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. All right. So he's going to be extra late to work, I guess. I'm assuming, you know. So.
Yes. Yes. But now he has proof to his boss. Hey, look, this is why I'm late. I got pulled over.
It's not my fault. I was speeding. Oh, wait. Dang
yes.
it.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, so you, I mean, this is kind of, you know, it is a little bit unusual that you patrol, but you, this wasn't patrol, this is just you observed something, right? This wasn't you out on your hours, this was you just, you know, you're out and about driving,
yeah.
And oh, look at that.
Yeah, this is me coming to work, and, you know, like I said, every now and then people need attention, and they get it.
So just one last question on this. So your charger goes 110?
The charger I had does 170. I'm in a Tahoe right now, so
oh.
I swapped over. Yeah, getting old is a bummer. So
getting down versus getting up into the car?
Yeah, so it's a little easier in a Tahoe. It's more comfortable, but it's still a police package, and I still get to, you know, go to calls and write tickets when I need to and that kind of thing.
Very good. All right. Well, I appreciate you keeping us safe. That's the job.
Last week, sir.
It was right. You had given us some of the details in this repeat domestic abuse kidnapping charges.
Yeah.
And of course we found out from the press conference more about that, but for the people who might have missed the news or didn't see, can you maybe just give us the short summary and then we'll talk about the significance of this case, because I think it is a very troubling case all around. But what actually happened here?
So we'll go back a couple of years. This guy gets arrested by us, and basically what he did was he tied his girlfriend up and abused her. Now, fast forward, he gets sentenced to prison. He gets out early, of course, and he's been out like less than 2 months and does the exact same thing again. So we get the call initially, welfare check. These people see, the next-door neighbors see this guy going out to the truck, getting a bunch of zip ties and going back inside. But, you know, that's obviously a clue because they know the background of this individual. And they call us. We get there. The deputies hear a lady yelling for help from inside. They kick the door. He runs from us, ends up getting dog bit. She's she's duct taped her hands and her feet. And then she's hog tied with a piece of rope between her feet and her hands, laying on her stomach. And the tape was on so tight that her hands and feet were purple in color.
Hmm.
And she had been beaten as well. So the guy's out less than 2 months, does the exact same thing. Obviously, you know, prison doesn't mean anything to him, and he's not going to correct his behavior. So I'm just hoping this time he goes for a lot more than 2 years.
So the thing that you were asked in the press conference about, you know, how did he only serve a portion of his sentence? I thought I read somewhere that maybe she had dropped charges. Do we know at this point whether there was any voluntary behavior by her to invite him back into her life, or was this just he came out of jail and went after her? Do we know anything like that?
No, we don't know exactly how that transpired, but I'll tell you this, you know, even if she invited him back to the home, it would have been out of fear. It wouldn't have been out of, hey, I love this guy. And that's one of the things we talked about too, is, you know, this is a cycle. It's a vicious cycle for these individuals that are trapped in relationships like this.
Yeah.
And everybody says, well, won't you just leave? Well, it's not that simple. And, you know, a guy like this is the guy that if you leave and go to California, he's going to find you in California and just, you know, beat you worse kind of thing. And that's the mentality. So we try to break the cycle, and hopefully if he goes to prison this time for 10 years or 15 years or whatever he gets, hopefully that cycle gets broken.
Can I think there are people, I mean, I think that it's very hard for what I'm going to call normal people, okay, to understand abnormal, abusive, the psychology, the cycle, the fear, the why would they go back to him, just all of it. But can you take for me, like, just give me that first off-ramp point where somebody who's in what seems like otherwise a normal relationship, what are some of the very early warning signs that they would encounter where they, if they don't, like, they might not recognize it in the beginning, but what does it begin to look like for people that wind up in abusive relationships?
Yeah, I would say this. If you're in a starting a relationship with an individual, and that individual has, I guess, a quick temper, it's not going to get better. If they can't control their temper initially in the relationship, they're not going to be able to control it in 10 years. So that's one thing to look for. And then, of course, obviously, if they lay hands on you, then obviously that's the biggest clue that you need to get rid of this person and as quickly as possible. And some people, though, some individuals, though, crave that kind of attention. And I say that because they grow up in an abusive environment and they see dad and mom and they think, well, that's how people in love, you know, express it, I guess.
Yeah.
And they don't know any better. They don't know what a loving relationship is like without violence, unfortunately.
And that's why I wanted to give people some, you know, if we can prevent it before it gets going, you know, and, you know, I know it's, you always think it's never going to be you. And then all of a sudden, and then it seems like all of a sudden, oh my God, what am I in the middle of? And how did we get here? And if we could do a little bit to prevent the getting there, you know, maybe we would help some folks. That's all I was hoping for. Cause it is just, it's so common.
Yeah.
It's so prevalent. It is so tricky to get out of. It's just, my heart breaks for these women and men sometimes, but particularly for these women. So,
yeah, and it does me as well. Over 42 years, I've seen a lot of it, and it's, you know, it's sometimes you think that, why don't you just get away? Why don't you just leave it? But, you know, you start getting into the mentality portion of it, and it just, you know, it's horrific sometimes. And sometimes it even ends up in death, you know, and I have no doubt that if he would have just gone back in to zip ties and, you know, the neighbor didn't call us, I, God forbid what would have happened. I mean, he could have just left her there and she could have died on the floor.
Yeah. Mm. Well, thank goodness your deputies got the call. Somebody saw something, they said something, y'all responded, and you may have saved her life, and you certainly have prevented anything worse from happening at this time. So that's the good news.
Yeah.
Sheriff Bob Johnson, always a pleasure, sir. I wish we didn't have some of these things we had to talk about, but, you know, that is the nature of what you do, and I appreciate the work that y'all do. Thank you for keeping us safe, and thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it, sir.
Yes, sir. Take care, Andrew.